If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. I have this friend who often starts their stories with, "Let me paint you a picture," because they want you to see the full thing in all of its glory. Well, what we're going to talk about today is painting a financial picture for yourself so that you don't have to feel overwhelmed or unsure about where you stand financially. Alec, Daryl, and I are here today for you guys to go over this, but we feel like understanding the big picture of your finances is critical for your success to help you have clarity and confidence. So that's really where we're going to talk about how you do that. How do you build that financial picture and understand in the big scheme of things, where do you stand? So that's what we're getting into today. We're going to break down this concept, talk about some key components that you need to consider, and how to assess your own situation effectively. We're going to give you a little tool at the end there that you can use to help you understand, okay, am I doing this? It kind of gives you some steps to follow. But we're going to talk broadly about these subjects first. So, Alec, the first thing we feel like you really have to get a grasp over, and this is going to be the one that probably the most people are going to go, but I don't want to, is income and expenses.
Yeah, it's the place to start for your financial picture because that's how you make money and that's how you spend money. So, mm-hmm. That's a great place to start, and the reason why you said people don't want to do it is because that affects their lifestyle. It's mm-hmm. I want to go see a movie, I want to go to a concert or go on this trip, but if you're spending more on concerts, trips, and whatever it is that you do, you may not be able to save, you may not be able to accomplish other goals that are really important in your financial picture. An interesting stat that we have is 60 to 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. So they have to have that paycheck to cover their expenses and they're not putting money back or they don't have money saved. And it's why is that the case? Well, it could be they're not budgeting, they're not aware mm-hmm. of it. It could be that maybe they don't understand that they need to live below their means and have more money coming in than going out each month. But that is really huge to be living below your means and to be able to save money in certain parts of your financial picture and also be being prepared if the worst case scenario does happen.
I think some people, because they lack education about how to create a budget or how to manage their finances, early on will get this mentality that, well, I'm just not good with money. It is what it is. We're just going to go. But what I have found is that people who are financially independent made controlling their income and expenses a priority early on, or when they became aware that it was out of balance, they got it in balance and they stuck with it from that point forward. I know for some people, having a budget just feels restrictive. But if you don't have a budget, I need you to pause. I need you to think. What are you missing out on? Because you're not choosing to align your finances with your values. Because that's really what a budget is. You know, when you're driving on a really windy road, I don't know about you, but I am grateful for those guardrails that, you know, if something happens and maybe my brakes aren't working as good as they can, they will keep me from going off the side of that mountain. That's what a budget is. It's guardrails. You don't have to have a to the penny, you know, Dave Ramsey style budget, but if you can create guardrails for yourself that allow you to do the things that you enjoy within reason, you're going to find that that really adds up to a successful financial journey, in my opinion.
And it's usually not that bad. Once you get a budget mm-hmm. set up, I know everyone's like, well, now I can't do anything. I can't spend any money on anything. It's not the case. It really
you just gotta plan for it.
Yeah, you gotta plan for it. And it really makes you realize where I am spending too much money. Mm-hmm. A couple different areas that your budget may point out to you, hey, I'm spending too much money here, is eating out.
Yeah.
That really can add up. And cooking at home, you're still eating. It's just you're eating at home and you're shopping for your own groceries and it's better ingredients for you as well.
I would say, let's be real, it's usually better food.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Unless you're an awful cook, it's usually better
healthier food. Impulse shopping is one that gets me. I'm not going to lie. And it's Amazon. It's not Amazon's fault. Okay. I will own that. But for me, I will get this wild hair where I'm like, I wonder if they have something that could solve this issue that I'm having right now. And I'll get on Amazon And if I'm not careful, I'll buy it without really putting some thought into it. I may or may not have bought a bed frame at 2 a.m. one time because my daughter's bed was creaking and I was sleeping on the couch that night because my back was hurting. And I'm going, man, that bed is obnoxious. And I literally bought her a new bed frame.
Yeah. Impulse shopping. It's easy. I mean, you can order something
and it's couple there next clicks. Day.
Yeah, it's there the next day. It's very easy. And then also staying at home, don't be peer pressured to go out every time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have FOMO, fear of missing out. If your friends are there, I need to be there. Sometimes it feels good to just sit out. Nothing crazy is going to happen if you sit at home and save money. Maybe it will, but most of the time it doesn't.
Well, and I've had friends in the past who said, hey, we'd like to go do da-da-da-da-da, and I knew I didn't have the budget for it. I suggested an alternative that was in my budget, and they were all happy to shift. It may not work every time, but sometimes offering an alternative like, hey, your friends want to go do something that maybe go to a restaurant that's too expensive. Well, I've really been wanting to try this restaurant, or hey, could we go hiking? Could we go do a picnic? You might find that they're more open to doing that than you thought. So understanding your income expenses and finding ways to shift what needs to be shifted to get those back into balance is certainly critical. Another area that we see can really have an impact on your overall financial picture is your emergency savings. And I've lived that this past year. I had a fridge to replace, a washer and dryer to replace. My car was hit by my soccer goal in my front yard. My son rear-ended somebody. It was one of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to 2025 because I feel like we've replaced everything we can at this point. But we had emergency savings. If we didn't have those, it would have been extremely impactful on my budget.
Yeah, I feel like that's a common case where it's like, oh, my refrigerator went out, now the washing machine, now the washer dryer, and everything just goes out in cycles.
It's like they're all in cahoots. Yeah.
Yeah, they all expire in the same time. And, you know, maybe if one expired one year, then one the next, you could afford it, pull a little money. But in your case, like, it all happens at once. If you don't have an emergency savings, what do? Well, you either got to go into debt or you've got to pull out of retirement. And
there's a penalty there, so that can get ugly.
Yeah, there's negative side effects to both, whether you get a tax penalty for pulling out of your IRA or your 401k. And then with debt, it's just growing. Well, you got that interest rate on a credit card that is atrocious. Well, that brings us to our next point, which is debt. So what has your experience been with debt and your relationship with it?
I became almost allergic to debt when my mom had some health challenges about 15 years ago. She had gone in for a surgery, ended up having to stay in the hospital for an extended stay, and I had to help my dad with their financial picture. I realized she had $50,000 worth of revolving credit debt. So this is credit cards, not other debt. She had other debts too. But I remember going, how did this happen? And I think of it like gaining weight. You gain a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. And then before you know it, you've got a ton. And so my mom was not someone who didn't make good money. Between her and my dad, they made good money. So it was not an income problem, but a habit problem. And I mean, this is shown out by the Federal Reserve. They put out a report recently that said household debt rose by $109 billion in second quarter of 2024. So it has reached $17.8 trillion. And when you guys think about interest rates and where they're at right now, in some cases, the debt is crippling families. The credit card debt per capita, so like the average per household, $3,040, which doesn't seem like a whole lot unless you don't have a lot of wiggle room in your budget. It can be hurtful. And, you know, even in my family, I've had times where it got out of control quick, and then it took me a long time to recover. And so the habit that I started was, I can use my credit card for an online purchase, but I have to pay it off on Friday. That's the cutoff. So it kind of holds me back when I'm in that kind of mindset of overspending. And the other thing is, I put a rule on myself. I can't shop on Amazon and buy it same day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put it in the cart, and then I can't buy it for a few days. So I think a lot of people are struggling with it. But what can you do?
I think it's really important to do kind of what you said, have guardrails, have rules for yourself like you do with your Amazon account. And one way to do that and avoid new debt is pay for stuff with cash. Don't easily go into debt, because going into debt, it's very easy. The financial system makes it very easy. It's as easy as signing some documents, giving some information. That's something you can do in a day you may not be able to get out of for 10 more years.
And in some cases, you can do it in about 5 minutes. If it's store credit, you just walk up with your driver's license and you get store credit in no time flat.
Yeah.
So it's easy to accumulate.
It's very, very easy to accumulate. And it can be hard to pay off because it's growing. It's got an interest rate. And if you have, you know, five different lines of debt and they're all growing anywhere from 5 to 15%, you say, well, where do I start here? How do I pay off a bunch of different lines of debt? Well, it's not a very uncommon way to do it with the debt snowball. Dave Ramsey talks about it. And what the debt snowball is, if you don't know what it is, you want to start paying off the smallest debt first. Mm-hmm. So if I have a car, credit card, mortgage, I've got a bunch of different debts. Well, I don't want to start paying off my mortgage because I've got four other lines of debt growing, or a huge car payment either. If I've got a $1,000 balance on a credit card, let's pay that off quick and just do the minimum on everything else. And then once we pay that credit card off, well, what's the next smallest line of debt?
Mm-hmm.
And throw that money that was going towards the credit card towards that line. And then you just get quicker and quicker at paying off debt until hopefully you're debt free. Now, your mortgage, that's a little bit of an outlier. That's something you're not paying off in 5 years if you have a huge balance.
And usually it has the lowest interest rate anyway. So it's something that, you know, if you were to keep that structured, it is what it is when you have a mortgage. But when you're talking about credit cards, some of those are paying, you know, you're paying 30% interest rates at this point. So prioritizing those to get those done is really critical for your financial journey. Another kind of methodology to this, so that you talked about the snowball effect where you start with the smallest debt, you get the win, and then you take what you were paying towards that debt and you add it to the next payment and you keep doing that. So the payment gets bigger and bigger that's going towards the next debt. There's another concept, similar strategy, but you start with the highest interest rate and you work your way down the other way. So it's the same strategy, just a different way of doing it. It can be beneficial. What we have found with clients is that if you can't get a win, it's hard to stay motivated. What we would say is pick one. Pay the minimum on everything else, but pick one that you want to tackle hard and just chase it till it's done. Then move on to the next one. The thing that makes this work the best is if you don't absorb that original income back into the budget. So if I was paying $50 towards this credit card and I pay it off, I don't just get to spend that now. I take that $50, I add it to the next payment. That's where it's really critical. Another piece of your financial picture that we feel like maybe doesn't get enough focus sometimes but needs to be in balance is life insurance. What has been your experience? I know for me, I've found that a lot of people don't have as much coverage as they need, or maybe they have coverage that doesn't really fit their goals. Have you had that experience in your meeting rooms as well?
Yeah, one way that we like to look at life insurance is its income replacement. So if I have a family that has two incomes and then one of the spouses was to pass away, well, that income stops coming in, but the expenses for the household, for the most part, stay the same. I still need to pay for the mortgage. I still need to pay for food. I still need to pay for the kids' school if you pay for that. And you have future expenses as well. It could be college education and stuff that you know you needed two sources of income for. And so with life insurance, we like to think of it, okay, we need to replace the income of the spouse who passed away. That way, we know the husband or wife and the kids can still live the same lifestyle that we expected them to live with dual income.
Yes. And I think a lot of people see it as, as long as I've got enough to pay off the mortgage, my spouse would be fine. But there are so many other pieces to that puzzle that have to be considered. So we've talked about your income and expenses, budgeting. Sorry, guys, we got to talk about it. We've talked about an emergency fund. We've talked about debt. We've talked about life insurance. Now we get into our specialty, retirement planning.
Yep. Putting money back now for the future so that when you do decide that you want to stop working, you know you have assets that you can create income from and enjoy your retirement and not have to worry about it. That's that's one thing for every single client who has retired through us. They are stressed out about it because it's, do I have enough money? What's this going to be like? Because I'm used to working and I've been putting this money back. But the key to living a good retirement where you're not worrying is putting back money early, saving for retirement, so you're not sitting here wondering, am I going to make it?
Yeah. And what I find interesting is that fear is universal. We've had people come in with millions that are like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And we've had people come in with, you know, 500,000, 300,000, 200,000. I don't know if I'm going to make it. if they had taken the time to understand their income and expenses, then we can really tell them, hey, you're prepared, or no, you're not. The goal here for us is to make work optional, but you've got to start somewhere. If you're not 18, it's okay. Get started today. If you've got an employer plan, put in enough to at least get the match, but it really helps, especially if you're starting later, if you can put in more. You need to do more than just the match to get where you're going. If you want to put more, you know, say you're maxing out the employer plan, you're rocking it out there. That's where you start working on IRAs. And then you can get into other investment types as well once you're done with that. So you really just need to get started. And if you need coaching, and I'd say, I would argue that everybody needs coaching, but I'm kind of passionate about it, then that's when you need to connect with a financial advisor. Even if your primary investment vehicle is your employer plan, you can make some mistakes there. So I don't know if you've heard this story. We like to make fun of Scott. He had started his employer plan, and there was a fund called a high yield fund. And so your face tells me you know what that meant. It means bonds, by the way. He was in his 20s, and he was putting money into a bond fund and couldn't figure out why he wasn't getting any real return out of it. But it's because he wasn't in a fund that was meant to grow. It was meant to protect. And so having somebody help you stay the course and make sure that what you're doing is adding up to what you want, it's really beneficial, in my opinion.
Well, that brings us to our 2 cents. I'll go ahead and start us off. So everyone's financial picture is different, but a lot of the stuff that we mentioned today, it is applicable in just about everyone's financial plan. Mm-hmm. It may not be the same figures, the same amount of whatever it is, but I think it's stuff to talk about and to look at and say, can I improve in one of these areas? Is there something that isn't even on my radar, or is there something that I don't even want to jump into? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to look at all these areas we've talked about today and see, where could I improve? Where could I get better?
And if you'd like something to look at to say, okay, I feel like I'm on track, but how do I know? We have something called the 6 Keys to Financial Independence. You can get it by going to getreadyforthefuture.com/keys. And it talks about different things that you need to be doing to make sure you're on the path to financial independence, like defining what financial independence means for you, living below your means, talking about some of these things that we have talked about today that you could go through and say, okay, check, 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 if you think you're on track, or if you don't, maybe it'll help you point out something that works for you.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Talking Sense. You can find our content on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere where you watch your podcast. We have weekly uploads, and we're looking forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.